Welcome to episode 240 of the Family Podcast Network. We are taught that you must blame your father, your sisters, your brothers, the school, the teachers, but never blame yourself. It's never your fault, but it's always your fault. Because if you wanted to change, you're the one who has got to change.
Welcome to the Family Podcast Network, where we help you work with your tough kids, and even those that aren't. Coming to you from Tuscola, Texas, home and headquarters of the Family Podcast Network, here's your host, Trey Gibson.
Well, hello and welcome to this episode of the Family Podcast Network, helping you work with your tough kids, and even those that aren't. It doesn't matter if you're expecting, if you're a brand new mom and dad, or even if you're a long-time seasoned parent. There is always something we can do to take our parenting to the next level. The date today is August the 12th, 2013. It is Monday. That's right, start of the week Monday. Our topic for today is, it is your fault, eliminating the you made me. That's right, today we're going to talk a little bit about the phrase that is common in a lot of kids' vernacular, which is, you made me. You made me so angry. You made me this. You made me that. And guess what? Guess who else is saying this phrase? In most cases, so are we as parents. You made me so frustrated. You made me so upset. We have a tendency to throw that dadgum word around like it's nothing. And it's one of the worst techniques or the worst habits that we get into as parents. We got to put a stop to it. Today, we're going to talk a little bit about that. Before we do that, guys, let's jump into our housekeeping for today. If you want to stay notified of all the new episodes that we kick out at the Family Podcast Network, there is a simple, easy, and wonderful way that you can do that. Go to thefamilypodcast.com over on the right-hand side. If you will see, it says email episode notifications. Enter your name and your email address in that. And we'll make sure that you get all new episodes delivered right to your email so that way you know what we talked about. Do we need to listen today? Do we need to listen right this very minute? And make sure that you don't miss out on that episode or that show or that topic or series of topics that if you just would listen to it, it changed everything for this week. Guys, also don't forget we have a blog, thefamilypodcastnetwork.com/blog. My wife writes it. She has been on a bit of a hiatus. We've been in kind of a weird transitory, I don't even know, I may have just made that word up, but we're going to run with it today. Transitory experiences lately where just things have been a little bit different. We've had a lot of stuff going on, and I reminded her today about the FPM blog, and she said she's going to get on making a new blog post. Nick kicked out with that, but I'm telling you guys got to go read it. You know what? I'm not even going to say anything more about it. Go read just one of those blogs and tell me if it doesn't blow your socks off. I'll be surprised. So go check those out. Guys, also don't forget, jump over to Facebook. We have a wonderful Facebook page, a lot of activity with a funny story. We just shared a really funny story tonight that involved my daughter and my other daughter's underwear. So you got to go check that out. While you're there checking out these funny stories, don't forget to hit like and save the page. Also, once you've hit like on the page, also don't forget to click on the little settings gear right next to the like button and then add to activities list. If you do that, thanks to Facebook, and I understand why they did Facebook. They call it edge ranking. I get it. I know why they did it. I'm not mad at them for doing it. It just makes my job a lot harder. So if you want to make sure that you're getting episode update notifications that I'm not paying for, then you can do that by clicking on that little setting and click add to interest list. That'll make sure that it'll pop up on your news feed so you can always see when we got a new funny story out or whatever else. So consider doing that, guys. You want to support the show? 30 cents per episode. If you're like, Trey, I love what you're doing. I've just gotten so much out of what you've given us, and it's been so helpful and so wonderful. We want to give back in some way and help you out. We want to give some money and help you support this show, help spread this word, and keep you in the pilot seat. Hey, there's an easy way you can do that. You can become a PTACker. PTACker stands for Parents for the Ethical Treatment of Adolescents and Kids. That's our funny little spin on PETA. What that allows you to do is when you sign up for that, not only are you helping support the show, $3 per episode. I mean, seriously, if you feel like you're getting three, you can't even buy a cup of coffee for that much anymore. If you feel like you're getting $3 out of every single one of these episodes, you can sign up for that. You also get premium material. I mean, stuff that only you guys that you pay for, y'all get. Number one, you guys get direct access to me. Right now, it takes me a long time to get back to people because I have so many emails and fan mails and questions and comments and things that people don't want on the show that just I have to triage it. So from now on, if you're a PTACker, if you're a paid member, You go into the member area under the resources tab at thefamilypodcast.com. You'll see that there's a members area. You click on that, you log in. If you do that, you get those access to that email. Just enter in your question, your topic, your thought, something that you wanted to ask me, any of that stuff, and you get direct access to me. And you will get it within 24 hours if you're a PTACer. And anyway, that's just one of the things we offer. We're going to skip over everything else to go right to the folks who are helping support the show. Also, if you're there, we've started putting up episodes. We've had several requests for people saying that they want copies to the all the shows that we have, and they wanted to be able to put all the shows onto their device so they could start listening from the very, very start and work their way to the newest episodes. So what we did was we're doing that in blocks of 24. They're in zip files that if you are a PTACer, you can go onto that site, right-click, and save as to your desktop, and then put that into your iTunes device or whatever you Androidians use. And I'm honestly never farted around with an Android device, but you guys can just slip it right onto your computer and then listen to all the shows and from the very start of FBN's creation. So you guys also get access to that, including the first two episodes, which are not listed on the website. That's right. First two episodes are not listed on the website. I did take those down for various reasons. So you'll actually get to hear the two secret shows of Family Podcast Network. So consider that. You guys will also be getting access to benefits. We've got a couple of benefit stuff that we're going to knock out for you guys. I'm going to have my coder probably sit down with it today or this week, excuse me, and see about getting those benefits up there. I'm not very good at coding. I can do basic code and HTML and CSS and PHP and all that stuff, but I'm just not that good. So I'm going to get my guy this week to see if I can sit down with him and do some exchanges of services and see if we can get some of that coding done and get those benefits added up there for you. So stay on the lookout for those. We've got some pretty cool ones. Also, if you guys have any other things you're like, man, Trey, I'd love to have a benefit in this X thing, let me know. And we would love to see about negotiating with them to get, like, you know, discounts off or whatever for the show. So consider that as well. Guys, if you have any questions, comments, thoughts, concerns, a topic that you want to hear about, a show that you'd like to hear done here at the Family Podcast Network, simple and easy ways that you can do that. We have made a load of ways for you guys to touch base with me, whatever works best for you and is most comfortable. You can always email me at TreyGibson@thefamilypodcastnetwork.com. Email me anytime, guys, and we'll get back to you as soon as we can. Don't forget, if you're not a PTACer, sometimes you will get triaged, and sometimes it may take sometimes up to a week at maximum, maybe 2 weeks, but that gets rare that it gets that bad. It'll also depend on what's going on in my everyday life as well. That can also affect the ability to get back to those as soon as I can. So anyway, check that out as well, guys. If you have that, you can always email me. You can also use SpeakPipe. What the heck is SpeakPipe, Trey? If you go to thefamilypodcast.com, look over the right hand, it says Ask Trey a Question. If you click on that, it takes you to a little page where you can hit record. As long as you have a microphone connected to your computer or some kind of headset that has a microphone on it that is connected to your computer, then you can leave a voicemail just like you would if you were leaving a voicemail over the phone. You hit record, it records it, you enter in some information, and boom. Voila, I get an email saying, hey, so-and-so just left you a voicemail. We can see about getting that on the show. So if you have any questions or comments, listener call-in questions, or just something like, Trey, you ought to check this article out, I'd love to hear back from it, consider doing that, guys. Maybe you're saying, well, Trey, I'm on my phone and I'm driving around or I'm working, I don't necessarily have time to sit down behind a computer. Hey, no problem. All you got to do, call 661-PARENT-0. Again, that is the number 661-PARENT and the number 0. You can call that in. Remember, I will not be answering the phone. You will not hear anybody saying, hey, this is Trey, go ahead, and you're on live on the show or anything like that. This is a pre-recorded show. We mix it down and then run it. If you call that number, you will get a voicemail that you will be able to leave that voicemail and ask your question. As always, whenever y'all leave these questions on SpeakPipe or on phone, I always ask that you deliver your question first to make sure that we have enough time and we don't miss whenever you give details, and then ask a question. We don't want to miss the question. Put the question first, then your details. We'll see about getting back to you on those things as well, guys. You can also go to thefamilypodcast.com and click on the contact us button. There's several different options there. Or last but not least, and one of the most favorite for many people, is you can go to Facebook and go to the Facebook page with the Family Podcast Network and leave an instant message from there. We'll get back to you on that. I'm a big Facebooker, so we can touch base with you there. All right, with all of that out of the way today, let's jump into our topic for today, which is, it is your fault. It is your fault. Eliminating the you made me's from our vocabulary. Why am I bringing this up? It is a very, very common issue that I see in parents. I'm just going to say that I see people in life in general. We have a horribly victimized nation. Now, I'm saying that not in the sense of a nation that has been victimized. We have a nation that believes, so many of its constituents believe that they are victims. That they are victims of people and victims of government or victims of circumstances. And they always walk around believing that they do not have any kind of influence on their life. Now, I want you to hear me say, I'm not a control freak. I don't believe that we can control everything. I don't believe that everything can be controlled by us. I do believe that there are certain things, that you can call it what you will, that are just outside of our control. I do believe that we can do our best to influence those things, that we can have the knowledge and the ability and the carefulness and all that other kind of stuff to try to influence those things in our lives. But the reality is that those things are often out of our control. But it's very common that so many parents want to try to victimize themselves, or maybe they've seen their kids do this. So they'll say phrases like, you made me so angry. You made me so upset. You know, when my kids did that, it made me so sad. Whenever he acted that way, I was so disappointed in him. Whenever she said that, I was so happy. Whenever he acted that way, I was so frustrated, right? It's common. You hear these things uttered all the time, and I bet you probably said them probably within the last couple of days. I know I have. So I want to make sure that one thing is most emphatically clear. And understand, this is kind of life lesson stuff here, and I'm sorry to go life lesson with it, but there's such a direct application with our kids as parents. But I want to be clear on this. Nobody can make you feel anything. I'm going to say it again, guys. Nobody can make you feel anything. Not your kid, not your mom, not your dad, not your ex-husband or wife, not old girlfriends, or not your crappy boss. Nobody makes you feel anything. Only you are in charge of your emotions. That's it, guys. Emotions are in a lot of ways like body odor. You're the one in charge for them. If you hire out a trainer and your trainer works your butt off and you didn't put deodorant on that morning, do you get mad at your trainer because your armpits stink? No, you didn't put deodorant on. You didn't take care of whatever needed to be taken of to prevent that from happening. And emotions are the exact same way. If you have an emotion and you're blowing up at people, or if you're an extra angry person, people are not making you mad. You are responsible for your emotions. Now, why am I saying that? I mean, you feel like, Trey, you're being kind of hard on us today. It's not it at all. I'm teaching this. I'm saying these things in kind of a harsh way, I admit. But I'm saying that because we've got to start taking responsibility for our own emotional crap. Because if we're not doing it, guess who else is not? Who is watching us? Our kids are. And we've got to start taking the responsibility for our emotions, both good, both positive and negative. Or else we wind up becoming that emotionally stinky person in the room. The analogy works. I didn't mean to go there with it, but it works. Now, I get it, guys. Some of you guys are going to argue with me like, you just don't know my husband. You don't know my wife. You don't have no idea about how my kids are. You know, they just know how to push my buttons. And don't get me wrong. I agree. I agree that sometimes people can push our buttons. I agree that sometimes people know where those little spots are that are so tender. And they know how to slip that knife right in between the chinks in our armor and boom! I get that. But I'm going to say it again. We are ultimately responsible for those buttons. Those buttons that our kids know how to push. It is our job to know where they are. To know why they're a big deal, to try to eliminate that button, or if nothing else, stay away from it. See, I'll guarantee you that all of the buttons that you have as an adult, those little areas that are soft and tender, and if you poke them, they get a reaction out of you, right? All those buttons that you have, I can guarantee you that you didn't establish them when you were 4 years old developing your personality. Maybe some of them. But I'll guarantee you, you didn't develop them when you were a little kid. You see, that suggests to me that they develop later. And let me tell you something. If something can be developed later, they can be undeveloped. If you have buttons in sensitive areas and things that just you get so pissed off when people say or do or think or act or look at, If you've got those things, I'll guarantee you, you can unlearn those things. You can desensitize. There we go. Let's run with that. You can desensitize those buttons to where they're not issues anymore. I'm not saying that it's always easy. I'm not saying that it comes at just a whim and just a, oh, I just decided I'm not going to do that anymore. And boom, all of a sudden you don't have sensitive areas in that. I'm not suggesting that. But ultimately, you are responsible. You can make change. Why do I recommend you stay away from these? You know, you made me so upset. Why do I recommend that? The number one thing is what we've already talked about. It victimizes us. It says, you're in control of my emotions or, let's do an and or. It says, I am not in control of my emotions. They control me. They run me out of control, and there's nothing that I can do about them. I always used to have kids. I used to actually, for those of you guys that don't know, I used to do therapy with kids. And I've worked with some teenagers that were sitting down, and they were like, oh, my gosh, Trey, man, I was just sitting down with this shoddy the other day. A shoddy, like a pretty lady. And she was just sitting there. We started our thing, and we wound up having sex, man. And just, you know, there was nothing I could do about it. And I was like, really? So you're trying to sell me here that there was no possible way that you could put the brakes on with this girl because she's pretty and things were hot. Oh, man, dude, oh, shoot, there's no way. So I said, let's talk about it this way. You're sitting there. So the first way victimizes. There's nothing he could do to stop his emotions, right? Because they're powerful. Don't get me wrong. As a guy who is very happily married with a wife who we enjoy having sex. Let's just be straight up here. As a guy who enjoys that, I understand the power of when the mood is right. I get it. I know the struggle that it is that it can be. It's one of the reasons I got married, so I didn't have to struggle with that. I get it. I understand how powerful it is. But I would always flip that around and say, okay, oh, all right, so you're telling me that, man, let's just say you're sitting there, oh, you know, you got the music on in a car and y'all parked somewhere, ain't nobody coming by. Y'all are sitting there and the things start, you know, you start kind of moving it up. Things start getting a little harder. He's over there, yeah, I know what you're talking about. And, oh, man, let me tell you now, things are starting to get rolling. You know it ain't going to be long, right? He's like, yeah, I know what I'm talking about. And you're sitting there, and right as y'all are about to move into the position to make things happen, she looks at you and she says, oh, by the way, I just got tested and I'm HIV positive. There ain't no way you're going to stop that, right? Because the mood is going. And I remember he looked at me, he was pissed. He was not a happy man. But he looked at me and he was like, and I think he walked out. So I don't remember what happened. I really don't. But at that moment, he realized a fundamental truth. He is in charge of his emotions. So he didn't like that. You see, we like to run to the victimized mindset. We like it because it allows us to take the responsibility of the choices that we make off of us and put them on something else. You see, I don't think everybody always says, why are we so afraid of responsibility? And everybody says, well, it's because we got this fear of failure, right? We don't like to fail. We're afraid that if we do these things that we're going to fail. You see, I disagree with that. I think that intrinsically we have some levels of fear of failure, but I don't think that's really the issue. I think the reason why we like the victimized mindset is not because we're afraid of the failure. We're afraid of the consequences of the failure. I think failure is not that big a deal to most people. I think it is the consequences of it. What happens if I start a business called the Family Podcast Network and it never takes off? What if I'm never able to live with that? And then it allows us to say, oh my gosh, well, life is so hard and money is so tight and there's nothing that I can do. We don't want to deal with the fears of the consequences. And so it's easier to run back to a state of victimization and say, oh, everything's happening to me. Nothing good is going on for me. Instead of stepping up and saying, you know what? Nobody makes me feel anything. So it's the number one reason why I recommend that we do not do the you make me thing in our own walk, and we especially don't let our kids do it. But it's got to start with us. Remember, it's got to start with us. You're setting a double standard. That ain't cool. Second reason that I say it's ill-advised is because you make me is finger-pointing. I mean, have you ever had that person who every freaking thing that comes out of their mouth, every tone of their voice, and no matter how they say it, it always comes out. If you had to take a hand and apply a hand gesture to every single phrase that comes out of their mouth, it would be a finger point at somebody else. You ever met that person? Oh my God, they drive me nuts. It's always somebody else. It's always you. Even when they're not even insinuating that it's you, you can hear it in their tone of voice. That they're pointing their finger at you. I mean, just imagine that person. And I don't know about you guys, but I don't like it. I don't like it when there's that person who's always looking for somebody else to blame. I like that person that says, Trask screwed up. I keyed this code in wrong, and I'm sorry, I don't have a good excuse. I was, you know, doesn't matter. I messed up. I'll fix it. You see, that to me speaks in volumes. I can't tell you how many tickets I wound up not having just because I was honest with them about it. I remember a while back I was driving and my inspection sticker was out and we'd got a new insurance card in and I left it at the house. Well, I got pulled over because the inspection sticker was out. The officer came up and said, license registration. I gave him my license and said, I'm sorry, I actually don't have my registry or my proof of auto insurance with me. And they go, really? And I said, yeah. Okay, well, let's start talking here about why your whatchamadoo is out. And of course, I was like, oh, really? It's out. I didn't notice. I hadn't even noticed that it was out. It was probably a month old. It wasn't even quite a month over or out of inspection. And I said, oh, gosh, I didn't even notice it. And she goes, oh, okay. So then tell me about your auto insurance. And I remember that I looked the officer in the eyes and I said, I'm going to be honest. I don't have a good excuse for that. It's sitting at the house, but it shouldn't be. And I don't have a good excuse. And I left it at that. You know what I got? I got a warning. And I honestly believe the reason I got the warning was because I didn't sit there and feed her some circle-talking, you know, bullcrap about how, oh, well, you know, it happened, and then there was this, and then my wife's legs got broken, and blah, 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 right? It wasn't a finger-pointing. It was taking responsibility. You see, I think people like that. I think people find it refreshing when somebody's willing to just admit, I screwed up, I didn't do it right, I should have done it different. You see, that doesn't point the finger at everybody else that says, I messed this up. You didn't make me mad. I got mad from something that's get tricky. You know, that's the thing about a lot of these angers that we have, especially those little tricky ones where, like, when you get done, you're kind of like, why the crap am I so upset about that? In most cases, it's because we've tied that into stuff in the past. I'll give you guys an example. I used to give this a lot when I used to teach like actual parenting one-on-one classes with big groups. But I remember that when I was a kid, I was sitting in the car one day, and I was eating one of those Miss Baird's fried pies, and something had been going on all that day with my mom and dad, and they were not doing well. They were in some kind of argument or fight or something. I didn't really know what it was. I mean, it could have been anything from finances to direct fighting between the two of them. I'm not sure. Whatever it was, something else was going on latent under the surface, and I was eating one of those Miss Baird fried pies. We were driving around, and I remember that they were talking about something. I was crinkling the wrapper on that Miss Baird fried pie, and I remember that my dad turned around and said, and he asked me a question, and I couldn't hear him. So I said, do what? And he asked the question again, and I was trying to move the wrapper around, and I didn't hear him again. I said, what'd you say? And he moved he turned around. He was driving, and he turned around and looked at me again, and I tried putting the wrapper, you know, down below me so I could hear, and I couldn't hear him. And he made a comment, and he said, you know, if you'd quit stuffing your face with that fried pie, you'd be able to hear me better. So, right, so this is totally disconnected. I mean, I got my feelings, you know, kind of butt hurt, but I left it at that. It wasn't a big deal. It never came back up. Well, several years later, we're talking like, you know, 10, 15 years later, I'm sitting there with my wife, and we were getting a plate of food or something like that, and she made a comment, holy smokes, Trey, you really going to stuff your face with that much food? And I remember that I went just ate butt crazy on her, man. I just, well, you're going to tell me what I can do. I'm just a bunch of spouting crap. And I remember it was one of those I got done. I was like, mother of Moses, where did that even come from? But, you know, I sat down and thought about it. Okay, when's the last time I had an emotion like this? You know what I connected it to? I bet you guys have already done the math, the psychological math in your mind. In my mind, I heard, when Corey said that, I heard my father saying that when I got my feelings hurt. You see, sometimes when we're not careful, I'm not saying this is the way it is in all cases. I'm not trying to go deep psychobabble on you guys. I'm just talking about a fundamental principle of being human, is that sometimes we connect the things that happened today with things that were difficult for us back in the day. It's just kind of a nature of the way we work. We connect those emotions. And those emotions connect with, it can connect with words or phrases or seasons. I remember working with kids in therapy that just every single Christmas they'd go berserk because that was when mom and dad died, or that was when mom and dad had left them at a foster home or something like that. And we've seen everything. From that to food, certain foods that would just freak little kids out because it would remind them of abuse that they had to go through on days where they ate chicken or something like that. I'm telling you, it's crazy weird stuff how the human brain will associate those things. And I think it's a good thing for the most part because it helps us try to learn from stuff. But sometimes we don't go back to a question. Okay, is the fear of chicken still a really good thing to hold today? Well, maybe it's not anymore. Maybe it is. But the human brain does this kind of thing. And if we don't take the time to question it, is this accurate? Is this legitimate? Is this something I need to keep doing? And sometimes we'll have these little minefields, these little triggers littered all over our life that are just waiting for somebody that we love and care about to step on and blow one of them up, metaphorically speaking. Third reason, you make me approach as ill-advised. Who is watching you to learn everything you're going to do in your life? You see, most parents hate it when their kids blame others for their actions. I bet you've heard it, probably recently. Well, my teacher got me in trouble. I cannot tell you how many freaking kids I worked with that would say this. Well, my teacher got me in trouble. My teacher, you know, got me put in detention. My teacher got me licks. Well, that was back in the day. I actually used to do that. I don't have a problem with it necessarily, just for the record. But they used to do that a lot more than they do now. The teacher got me into trouble. That kid got me mad and I punched him. He made me so mad and I punched him. My principal sucks and gave me detention, right? They'll say crap like that instead of saying things like, me calling the teacher an effing B got me put, you know, kicked out of the class, right? That got me in trouble. So instead of saying that, you know, that's where they get the teacher got me in trouble. Well, bull, it was you calling the teacher a name that maybe got you in trouble. So let's say, you know, that kid got mad, you know, got me mad and I punched him. Instead of me mouthing off to the kid, made them react to me, which in turn led to me punching them, right? They'll say things like, you know, my principal gave me detention, like we talked about earlier, rather than me skipping class got me sent to the principal's office, which got me detention, right? It can always be traced back to something someone else did, a decision that someone else made, and people will often lack the ability to trace it back to themselves. I mean, let's be honest, guys, we do it too. We do it too. The cop that pulls us over because he needed to make his quota. It's not my fault. It's his fault, right? The boss who sucks, right? And he's making me do the report over. Or the kids are driving me crazy, right? The kids are creating that. You understand what we're talking about today? Nobody makes you do anything. Nobody. Nobody makes you feel anything. Nothing like that. We are responsible for our emotional crap. And if we want our kids to be in the same boat as us and taking responsibility for the things that they're doing, those things that we want them to own up to, even when it is their mistakes, we got to do it first. We got to step up to the bat. Say, all right, Trey, I get it. We have to dump the you make me attitude if we want our stress levels to go down in parenting. I get that. So what do we do different? Here it is right here. It's real simple. You got a piece of paper. I highly recommend you write this down just because for the moment, at the start, it takes a little time sometimes to kind of get this mentality glued into our head so that it sticks. You do something like this. You start out with a phrase of, I feel, so if you're writing this down, do I feel blank? And that blank right there is where you'll put your feeling. I feel hurt. I feel frustrated. I feel angry. I feel jealous. I feel greedy. I don't care. Whatever emotion you've got, be honest. Don't just use generalized words like upset. That can be an authentic word. It's okay to say you're upset. But what the heck does that really mean? There's multiple kinds of upsets. So name the feeling. Be specific. Next off, so you say, I feel blank when you... If you're writing it down, add another blank right here, like just like an open blank you can fill in. In that blank, you put the exact behavior that person is doing. I feel hurt when you don't clean up your room when I ask, right? Be very specific. Don't say, be disrespectful. Be disrespectful means nothing. Well, it means something. But to each person, it means something different. So for you telling that to your kid, it means nothing. Got to give the exact behavior. I feel angry when you leave the front door open after we've talked about closing it. Got to be very, very specific. Nail it exactly. Nail it exactly. So if it's that they don't listen, but they also mouth back, nail it. Figure out what exactly it is. I feel disrespected when you talk back to me or don't allow me to finish my sentence or whatever it is. Last piece to this, well, second to last piece. Last piece of the sentence is because, so I feel blank when you blank because fill in the reason behind it. I feel hurt when you don't take the trash out when I ask because I feel like you're saying I'm not important. You would be amazing how powerful that is. Sometimes kids just don't know the reaction they're having on us. They don't understand the effects that their behaviors actually go on us. And we spend so much time as parents trying to stonewall them and not allow them in and not, you know, not give them anything that they want we just will become Stonewall Jackson. I remember a kid once who was just a little turd to her dad. I worked with him several years ago, and this dad was at his wit's end. We tried just about everything in my collective to work, and he said, "Trey, it's not working." So finally, I was like, "Does she know how you feel about this?" He's like, "Yeah, I guess she does." I said, "No, really, do you know that she feel how you feel about this?" And he's like, "No." I said, "Why?" He said, "Well, I mean, I don't ever let myself cry because I know if I show her any weakness, she's going to exploit that and take, you know, and work it harder. If he sees me, you know, lose my grip on this, then she's going to realize it's working and she's going to keep doing it." And I told him, I said, "You're going to have to trust me on this. Stop doing that. Let her see you hurt. Let her see you cry. Let her see you upset by what she's doing. Let her see you scared to death about how she's going to turn out. Let her see those things." And I remember he did it. And he said he was in his basement at the time, and they had gotten into a big fight. And he had gone downstairs, and she had come downstairs, and he saw her, and he said, "I just started crying." He said, "She ran over to me and hugged me for the first time in 3 years. I'm not saying you're going to have that exact experience if you do this. But the idea behind it is kids need to know how you feel. I feel hurt when you call me a jerk because I don't feel like I am a jerk. And the last part of this that you always have to end on. What I want from you is," and then give the exact same thing, the exact behavior that you want from them. "I feel hurt when you come in 30 minutes late because I'm scared to death that maybe you're hurt. What I want from you is show up on time. Or if you're going to be late, just give me a call and let me know how many minutes." Right? You see what this did? It did not point a finger. It did not say, "You make me feel," right? That's the finger point. It said, "I feel hurt when you," and now we're not pointing at the person. We're pointing at what they did, which is always better. If you can address a behavior and not a person, you're going to have success. It just works that way. We fundamentally do better when we don't feel like somebody's attacking us as a person. They're just attacking what we're doing. "I feel disrespected when you don't come home at curfew because I feel like you don't care that we worry about you." Then you always end on, "What I want from you is," and then seek out alternatives. "I want you to show up on time. I want you to show up early. Be exact. Be specific. Don't be afraid to negotiate in these cases," because again, every time we negotiate with our kid, we're teaching them to negotiate and the power of it, and learn to take responsibility. Own up, cowboy up on your emotions again. Take them back. Don't let your kids have responsibility for those or anybody else. Remember, this is a life principle, guys. This isn't a parenting principle. This is a life principle. This is just how we're going to apply this to parenting because it's so important here. It's a life skill. Own up to your own crap. Own up to your own mistakes and fix them. Don't get me wrong. I know for some of us that's a harder thing to do than it sounds. But it doesn't change the fact that it's right and we've got to do it. Unless we want our kids to pick up on the same crappy little habits that we have and proliferate them in a continuous cycle that maybe has been going on for generations. It's time to make that change because I am responsible for my emotions and my crap and my triggers and my buttons and everything else. Not anybody else. All right, guys. That's all that we have in this episode of the Family Podcast Network, helping you work with your tough kids and even those that on. Guys, don't forget to jump over to Facebook and check us out. Share this episode. If you get an opportunity, please share this episode. Super, super helpful for us. Guys, really appreciate y'all. Hope y'all have a great day, a great start of the week. And if nothing else, we'll see you on Wednesday.